Mr. Khrushchev said, better red than dead.
That was actually about the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. Missed it by 3 years. Want to give a call? You can. We're in the last half hour of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. 427-3772 is the phone number. I'm going to read you this flyer that I wrote. Council ducks war, Kennedy ducks law, Golder gets banned. Tuesday night's council session was sparsely attended in spite of two council items on the Iraqi war. Perhaps it was because a PAC Resource Center for Nonviolence was showing a film about 9/11 at the same time. Perhaps it was because the public anticipated that City Council would follow its usual process of churning out a prefabricated agenda, baked and frozen, packaged and posted, all before the public could say a word. Perhaps it was because the Sentinel kept all the news of this, quote, follow-up council session out of the papers so that few even knew the Iraqi issue was on the agenda at all. Perhaps it was because the community knew how far out of favor Representative Sam Farr had been the week before at the town hall meeting and anticipated that the council wouldn't dare to cross or criticize their man in the House, even if it meant taking no meaningful follow-up action before Bush unleashes his bombers in March. Whatever the reason, the council lived down to its reputation again. It didn't simply ignore all pleas that it take meaningful local action to stop the war, but maintained a total silence on virtually every such proposal presented from the public, except for responding to right-wing pro-war criticism from one former council candidate who spoke. As has been depressingly standard, council passed nothing more than what its staff had prepared prior to the meeting. It disregarded virtually all input from the audience at City Hall at that particular session on Tuesday, 2 days ago, and at the town hall meeting the week before. The council ignored calls that it urge impeachment of Bush and Cheney, or that it declare Santa Cruz a sanctuary for war refuseniks from the military, that it support a delegation to Iraq to monitor inspections, or simply support the people of Baghdad, both against tyranny of the Iraqi regime and the threat of destruction from Bush's bombers. Ironically, the council began the evening session congratulating a delegation it sent to Cuba. Perhaps Ruth Hunter and other WILP activists who accepted that congratulations, accepting the council's praise, didn't want to risk offending the council by staying to question its paralysis on local action around the impending slaughter in Iraq. Perhaps Ruth and the WILP activists didn't know that the anti-war items were on the agenda. Perhaps they knew that they would inevitably fail on any attempt to strengthen them. But, of course, they didn't even try. Farr had ducked questions the week before about U.S. use of uranium-depleted weapons, U.S. support of sanctions and bombing for the last decade in Iraq, his unapologetic support of the biggest military budget in history on the same day he was voting against the Iraqi war last fall, and other relevant issues at the town hall forum a week before at the Del Mar. Riley's counsel poured on the honey, praising Farr and ignoring all criticism of his duck-and-cover policies, even though the representative was from a safe seat and is reprising his performance from the Yugoslavia war when he supported Clinton's bombing policies. This time, of course, he's doing some pro forma opposition, but nothing new, nothing real, nothing specific, nothing that distinguishes his policies from those of his policies in the past. More important, Riley's counsel raised not a word of meaningful protest to distinguish itself from Farr. It simply passed the buck to state representatives, asking them to do what Hawaii and Maine had done, urge the president not to engage in preemptive war against Iraq, but continue the inspections. It supported the DeFazio withdrawal of force resolution that Farr had already signed on to, and backed the three-month-old letter to the president. The letdown follow-up to the town hall meeting was presented, naturally, to a nearly empty city council chamber. Council ended this standard evening by hearing a laudatory presentation from Councilmember Scott Kennedy, who distributed self-congratulatory buttons to the council for supporting a Cities for Peace presentation in Washington, D.C. in one of Kennedy's recent junkets. Kennedy's posture of war against the poor in Santa Cruz, anti-war in Iraq, is typical of the council with its protest nationally, repress locally policies. Even on the war issue, Kennedy joined the council in fleeing any substantive actions. He declined to urge any of the local initiatives demanded by the community at the town hall meeting, including Sherry Connable's passionate plea for a resolution to support impeachment, which seemed to be backed by a majority of people in the town hall meeting the week before. With the war two weeks off, City Council and Scott Kennedy moved on to other business. To add insult to injury, Mayor Riley announced he was canceling the Civic Auditorium March 19th town hall meeting against the war. There was no need, since the Del Mar Theater had had 30 empty seats the Tuesday before, out of some 500 seats, and since no one was turned away, why bother to have another session on the war? So there would be no emergency council response to the war. The Civic Auditorium session scheduled for March 19th would actually have been broadcast live on community TV, unlike the Del Mar meeting, which could not be. And as I pointed out earlier, she declined the opportunity to use the Civic Auditorium, that would have cost some money to pay for the symphony to go do its rehearsal activity somewhere else. She apparently didn't feel it was sufficiently important to spend that amount of money or to do that, even on the eve of what looks to be the most devastating bombing in history. At the same time, the council's only reaction to audience concerns, again, was to reassure a pro-Bush speaker that their reasons for voting for the war were not mentioned in the not-available online agenda packet. At the same time it was ducking national issues, the City Council's City Clerk Leslie Cook and City Attorney John Barisoni both refused to accept legal service of a subpoena for Councilmember Scott Kennedy, unusual because it is the City Clerk and the City Attorney that usually accept such service. Instead, they helped hustle Kennedy out the back door with unseemly haste before the end of the council meeting to avoid a subpoena. The cautious council member was accompanied on the run by Sergeant Butchie Baker, who alerted Kennedy to the subpoena. The subpoena came from a homeless activist, John Golder, who wanted Kennedy as a witness in his trial. Golder had earlier been told that if he tried to speak at city council meetings, he would be arrested. The exclusion of public is a violation of the Brown Act that guarantees open meetings. After being persistently questioned by me, Wilson and Barisoni, the city manager and the city attorney, agreed to let Golder enter the room, but by then it was too late to find him for oral communications. All this happened on the same night. Kennedy later sent an email to Becky Johnson mocking myself and activist Jim Costner, who waited for the end of the evening with a subpoena to present it to Kennedy, thinking that somehow he respects, he's big talking about the law and so forth. He apparently has no loyalty to the truth in a situation which was trying to be determined at this court hearing, nor to legal process. He simply apparently not only ducked this subpoena, but he enjoyed ducking the subpoena. What was the subpoena about? Well, Wilson, city manager Wilson, barred this man, John Golder, from approaching any city employee or city building since mid-November. Four police officers actually escorted Golder from the public library when he attempted to read a book there earlier this month. Golder's crime was responding with persistent but legal pressure to the city, stonewalling around their apparently improper booting and seizure of the vehicle in which he lived. Employees, he reported, treated him discourteously and refused him ordinary services like copying documents. When he politely but persistently pressed to complain to superiors, he was viewed as a gadfly and a threat. He spent 35 days in jail awaiting trial on charges that were ultimately dropped and needed Kennedy as a witness to testify in Wilson's hearing to have a permanent injunction issued barring him from all city buildings and access to all city employees for 3 years. That hearing took place Wednesday, February 26th, yesterday, in Judge Robert Attucks' court. With no attorney, no media, and few supporters, Golder successfully blocked Barisoni, Wilson, and 8 hostile witnesses by showing Barisoni had used the wrong law in putting forward the suit. He required Barisoni to prove individually each alleged count of harassment that Wilson was claiming. Golder was confident that with no history of violence on his part, no evidence of threats, no evidence of irreparable harm, and no continuing danger, as well as a clear legal purpose on each of his visits to city offices, the permanent injunction would not be granted. He, however, did not reckon with Judge Robert Attuck and with the combined legal forces of the city. Gelder was also prepared to present written, verbal, and recorded counter-evidence that the complaining witnesses were angered by Golder's persistence and outspoken activism and manipulated by city manager Wilson into claiming Golder was a threat in order to punish him for embarrassing the city in inquiries as to why the police force was violating established law in illegally towing away his home vehicle in September and thereafter. We went into this in some detail. And on a Sunday, it's right here on the air in Free Radio Santa Cruz. We had Golder here talking about that. Midway through the trial, Judge Attuck called Golder, Barisoni, and Assistant City Attorney Jeffrey Barnes into chambers, and it is Golder and not Gilder, by the way, and apparently pressured him, Golder, into a settlement that allowed for a six-month restraining order and stay-away orders from four buildings, which lets him use the library again, thank you very much, or talk to a police officer, which he had been barred from doing. Plus, he had to agree to communicate only in writing and only five times a month at most to the city council or any city council offices. This is outrageous. It is really a depressing situation that a man can be beaten down into this kind of a deal, and I was very depressed to see it. Jeffrey, any thoughts?
Well, just goes to show you, we've got a real police state here. The war is right here in the streets of Santa Cruz, California. We don't need to spend one penny of the taxpayers' money to make war against Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. And bottom line, Robert, I still say the one way that all of us can stop this war from happening at all is to take steps like mobilize a national sit-down, a general sit-down strike here in the United States. I urge everyone listening to this show, do not pay any of your federal taxes for April 15th. The next time you get your phone bill, do not pay that little excise tax on the bottom, because that money goes directly to fund this war. People need to take active measures to stop this war from happening. Just reading poetry and going on peace marches and phoning Washington will not get the job done.
Caller, call back. I see you just called in a moment ago. We have about 12 minutes left, or actually, let's give Uncle Dennis a minute or two to get ready. 10 minutes here in the studio. Give us a call at 427-3772 if you have any thoughts. And if you can't, well, looks like we're going to hear you now. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hello. I just appreciated what Jeff had just said about the basically a national general sit-down strike in the United States to oppose the war on Iraq. And that's something that actually there's been folks up in the Bay Area who've been promoting and organizing the notion of a one-day general strike where people would go to work, not going to school, not buying anything, not supporting the system in any way whatsoever, and protesting and demonstrating on the streets throughout the country. And that idea has been catching on. There's folks in Chicago and New York, and people talking about it in London. The International Answer Coalition I recently saw an email a couple weeks ago that they also are promoting that the day after the bombing, the day after the mass carpet bombing that U.S. War Machine is planning, that this would be the response to it by the people. But I agree with the man who said before, is that if we want to stop it before the mass bombing, then we need to organize actions like that, what he mentioned, immediately.
Hear, hear. I know we're talking to Renegade Jim Costner, or Just Man Jim, as I used to call you. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good, and I want to thank you for assisting with the tabling downtown at Chalky Corner, as we're now going to call Soquel and Pacific. You actually spoke at city council meeting, I guess, on Tuesday night. Have you been listening to this broadcast?
Yes, I have.
And I know that you, there was for the first time in history, the mention of both our names in both the Sentinel and the Mercury News on that story. Are you now prepared to take your place as a media star, Mr. Cosman?
Oh, I don't want to be a star, and I'm not a star, but I think we should talk about what we need to do to stop this war and what we need to do to stop the war in Santa Cruz, too, because obviously people are having their rights violated consistently every day. And that thing that you showed me, the downtown ordinances, that the amendments that were recently passed, I would really encourage people to get a copy of that and read it. And you can get a copy from Robert, which is a good service that he's providing for people, because it makes it really clear that the local power structure has thoroughly eliminated much of the First Amendment activities downtown. And that's a direct attack on First Amendment as well as movement activities, political activities, which means that the ability for us to organize for our rights and against the war and anything else we choose to be for is being taken away from us. And I don't think that any one of us should tolerate that calmly and so, you know, passively.
Well, I'm going to try to be doing some tabling tomorrow, and depending on the weather, of course, and depending on whether there's enough support for it. There has recently been some growing solidarity on the streets with at least more activists interested in tabling. I know you, Jim, have. I know that it's a depressing situation here in the middle of this, and not just the fact that we're in the middle of a war, or a continuing war against Iraq that's about to be escalated brutally, but it's a situation where, the Citizens Police Review Board has been disbanded, a whole series of repressive laws have been put into place. Mayor Riley has shown she has no interest whatsoever in any kind of open process or in any kind of public discussion of her policies. And I guess people are stuck in two different situations. They're either struggling, as I understand you are, just to get rent together, struggling for that, or else they've flown off to Hawaii and they're engaging in vacationing. You know, they're all stressed out. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I found that was the case with an activist I called today who I'm trying to organize around medical marijuana, and a good activist. I've got nothing bad to say about this person, but I just sort of noticed that people are either struggling under a huge debt, a burden of debt, or they're gone. You know, they're trying to get away from this whole scene.
Well, it's a very repressive time, and it's a very serious time period. And I think that to a certain degree, certain people will struggle even harder than ever they have before. And then other people, I think, will kind of redraw, or what do you call it, kind of escape or run away and not want to deal with the reality, because the reality is very ugly. And it's very hard to deal with. It takes a lot of emotional strength to really see things for what they are. So I kind of understand those tens. May I just make an announcement, Rob, before I go?
Sure.
The announcement is I wanted to invite community members and people in the anti-war movement and people who would like to further the discussion around what we all can do to stop this war, slow it down, or to slow this war down and stop it, is next Thursday night. There's an anti-war program at the Vets Hall at 6:30 p.m. That's Thursday, March 6th. And your friend Robert Norris, Becky Johnson, local journalist, Steve Argue, who recently ran for city council, Greg Uba, and other poets, local poets, speaking out against the war, and also myself. And really want to encourage people to come out to participate in the discussion and the dialogue and the presentations. And also want to put out the invite to, if there's organizations that are involved in fighting for the human rights and for the anti-war movement, you also want to put out the invite for you to come out and also have time to speak and present to the community and to the people as well. So
now,
thanks
are
for
you
letting me make those announcements.
Now, Jim, are you also suggesting, because what I told the Standing United for Peace person who called in and talked about the upcoming Standing United for Peace meeting tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Bay Tree, third floor of the Bay Tree Conference Center, the vigiling that I'm hoping we're going to be doing, the 24-hour vigiling I'd like to see people volunteer for, is not just against the war in Iraq, but against the war against the poor in Santa Cruz as well.
Yes, and I would certainly participate in that. And if you're interested in tabling tomorrow, I would be happy to go out with you to go table as well.
So, yeah, give a call to 423 Huff. We're reaching the end of the hour. I say this to the rest of the folks out there. If you want to be a part of either a 24-hour vigil or simply some activist tabling downtown, Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Thanks, caller. Anything else you want to add?
No, thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Jeffrey had a question, comment? Or?
Well, I just want to urge everyone that's listening to this show tonight to also understand that as long as we have a media that's being controlled by the government, we are all in serious trouble. So I urge everyone to email, phone, fax, MSNBC, say, how dare you fire Phil Donahue. Right after September the 11th, we all know that the American Broadcasting Company fired Bill Maher because they said that the commercial sponsors of his show were outraged when he said that the people who intentionally crashed into the World Trade Center, he said they were anything but cowards, and they got rid of him. And of course, many people wanted Susan Sontag fired from the New Yorker magazine. So bottom line, as long as you want to stop this country from being the terrorist country that it is, we must have a free media, and therefore let MSNBC know that you will boycott it. How dare they fire Phil Donahue, one of the great Americans.
Hear, hear. A couple of other announcements. Benefit for Chavez House Cooperative at Hosteling International Youth Hostel, February 28th. That's tomorrow, Friday, 7:30. The Blue Lady Quintet, a good old timely rock out band. Come dance, but please come support with donations. These are the people that were burned out. The Chavez House Cooperative. It's at 321 Main Street. It is free. It's across from the co-op, 321 Main Street, tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. on Friday. An interesting thing about the stories in the Sentinel, I kind of, I preened myself and Jim Costner for appearing in the Sentinel stories. We were quoted as talking about the alternatives the city council refused to consider, and that what interested me about that is normally the media doesn't cover us at all. And I found it very strange that both Dan White and of the Sentinel and Ken McLaughlin of the Mercury News did, and I think the reason it was because they recognized, although they didn't state it explicitly, how kind of important this issue was, obviously, the Iraqi war, and how the issue of some kind of Santa Cruz local action and the absence of action by the city council other than these largely meaningless resolutions about asking the state legislatures to pass something and, you know, supporting a three-month-old letter and that sort of thing. I found it interesting. Anyway, just to remind you, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is sort of the new group that includes now Downtown for All, meets every Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning, at Baker Square Restaurant at 1107 Ocean Street. This show will return to you on Sunday. I come back at 9:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, and I go till 1 o'clock. Long show, a lot of interesting opportunity for playing some of the kind of tapes you heard today, which were really, I think, worth airing, and to tell you what's going on in Santa Cruz. And Jeffrey has
Does Mayor Emily do the baking at Baker's Square for that little breakfast?
You know, I don't know, but Mayor Emily's Bakery is a nice target for a boycott. We've been talking about mounting a boycott against the war in Iraq and against the war against the poor in Santa Cruz, maybe against Borders and the Gap. They'll start with those two and spread out from there. Although Riley's Bakery looks like a nice target to me, frankly. No offense, nothing against her baking skills. It's her political skills that concern me. Anyway, leave a message at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's my phone number. If you want to get in touch with me, look for me downtown. We're maybe doing some tabling tomorrow. Our tabling times are kind of uncertain, but if you want to volunteer for either the tabling or the 24-hour vigil, again, the number is 423-HUFF. Peace Friday, of course, is tomorrow, 4 o'clock, more or less, down at Ocean and Water Streets. And tune in again for another edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and stay with us for From the Cream to the Dregs. That's if you had enough of our babble, you can actually get some soothing music, a little old-fashioned rock. And Uncle Dennis, I think, may actually take suggestions. You take call-ins, right, Dennis?
Yeah.
So you can actually get your own. He's got quite a stock of music, both disc and computer. So you got disc?
We got disc. We got vinyl.
You got vinyl. He might even do some singing for you. Uncle Dennis is. We're waiting for that, Dennis. But we may have to wait a little longer. Anyway, thanks for being with us. And Jeffrey, thank you for giving us some pungent national perspective on things.
Thank you. March is going to roar in like a lion and go out like a lamb. We're going to stop this war.
He was It's all over his own growing land. From the New York Island through the California sand, he saw all the people that needed to be seen, planted all the grass where there needed to be green. And now he's bound for a glory all his own, and now he's bound for glory. He rode and he sang and he rode upon the rail, and he got on board when the sailors had to sail. He said all the words that needed to be said. He fed all the hungry souls that needed to be fed. And now he's bound for glory all his own. And now he's bound for glory. He sang in our streets and he sang in our halls. And he was always there when the unions gave a call. He did all the jobs that needed to be done, and he always stood his ground when the smaller men would run. And now he's bound for a glory all his own, and now he's bound for glory. Plenty wrote the Dust Bowl balladeer, and this land is your land, he wanted us to hear. And the rising of the unions will be sung about again. Deportees live on through the power of his pen. And now he's bound for a glory all his own, and now he's bound for glory. Now they sing out his praises on every distant shore, but so few remember what he was fighting for. Oh, I sing the songs and forget about the aim. He wrote them for a reason, why not sing them for the same? For now he's bound for a glory all his own, and now he's bound for glory.